if your life is broken, it may be because pieces will feed a multitude.
Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the Lord Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ, as reported in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, you remember, is the second of the Gospels in the New Testament, and it is the shortest one. So if you've never read one of the Gospels all the way through, I commend it to you. Try the Gospel of Mark. It's full of wonderful stories. Now, we're not going to make it through this whole Gospel in this series of 10 talks. In this one chapter, we've been in chapter 6, and we've seen many facets of Jesus' life. His teaching in the synagogue, the ways in which He offended the religious leaders. We find that Jesus was unable, it says, to do miracles. Now think about that word, unable to do miracles. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ was God, remember. It says He was unable to do miracles because they didn't believe Him. We must remember that when Jesus was here on earth, His power came from His Father. And remember that He did only what His Father gave Him to do. He explained that very clearly. He said, I do the works of my Father. I do only those things that the Father gives me to do. The words that I speak are not my words. They're the words that my Father gives me. And so He worked by the power that had come from His Father. He calls His disciples. He instructs them. We had the story of Herod and John the Baptist, a familiar story, but full of meaning for you and me in our most mundane lives. All sorts of inexplicable things happen in our lives, but let's remember that God is always in charge. He is sovereign. He is over all, and He knows the end from the beginning, and He's not finished with any of us yet. Now, verse 30 says, the apostles returned to Jesus and reported to Him every detail of what they had done and taught. Now come along to some quiet place by yourselves and rest for a little while, said Jesus, for there were people coming and going incessantly so that they had not even time for meals. And they went off in a boat to a quiet place by themselves. Even though the disciples, along with their master Jesus, were servants of all, constantly pouring themselves out for the sake of other people, they still needed rest. They were human. So Jesus provided for time away from the mob, where they could have quietness. But what happened? A great many people saw them go and recognized them, and people from the towns all around hurried around the shore on foot to forestall them. And when Jesus disembarked, He saw the large crowd. And did He say, hey guys, leave us alone? Or, oh no. What does it say? His heart was touched with pity for them because they seemed to Him like sheep without a shepherd. And He settled down to teach them about many things. Even though Jesus had made provision for rest and quietness, He changed those plans. He was willing to meet the needs of the mob. He had compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And the disciples, when the day wore on, they came to Him and said, we're right in the wilds here, and it's getting late. Let them go now so that they can buy themselves something to eat from the farms and villages around here. The disciples had practical worries, didn't they? Just like you and me. As far as they could see, there was only one solution. Let them go. Let them take care of themselves. They can go and buy food from the surrounding farms and villages. But Jesus has another idea, an impossible one. He says, "You feed them." When we face the impossible, do we tell God how He ought to answer our prayers? Or do we listen for His command? Let's think about this one. We're very practically minded at times, much too practically minded to even imagine that God might have a different idea. This is the only solution. I know what the answer is. There's no way out of this situation but so-and-so. Maybe it's a divorce you're thinking about. Maybe it's quitting your job. Maybe it's getting rid of a certain person that you can't stand in your office. Just got to get rid of them, got to get out of this. And Jesus might have another idea. Do we tell God how He must answer our prayer? Or do we listen for His command? I ask, do you want solutions or holiness? Are you looking for answers or obedience? So He tells us just what we are sure will never work. He says to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." And of course, they come back with a very practical argument. "You mean we're to go and spend 10 pounds on bread? Is that how you want us to feed them?" The only way they could imagine. "What bread have you got?" asked Jesus. "Go and have a look." He says to do something that seems ridiculous, useless. And what happens? When they had found out, they told Him, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus directed the people to sit down in parties on the fresh grass, and they threw themselves down in groups of 50 and 100. Sounds very neat and organized, doesn't it? Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, thanked God, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. And He divided the 2 fish among them all. Everybody ate and was satisfied. Afterwards, they collected 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish that were left over. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. And that word men in the Greek there is not the generic term, which includes women and children, but literally 5,000 men. So I would guess that there must have been at least 20,000 people there. Let's say there were 5,000 women and maybe 2 children to each man and woman. Some families would have far more than 2, and undoubtedly there were single people there, but at any rate, there were a lot more than 5,000 people. So in the hands of Jesus, what looked absurdly inadequate becomes more than adequate. Have you defined for God what He ought to do? Have you listened for His answer? Have you done the one small thing that He tells you to do? The sort of thing about which one of the disciples said, "What is the good of that for such a crowd?" You know, these 4 Gospels have 4 different accounts. And one of the Gospels tells us that one of the disciples said, "What's the good of that for such a crowd?" Isn't that just what you and I would have said? And when I began to learn to make an offering of everything in my life, including my sorrow, and this was during the time of my 2nd husband's death by cancer, my temptation was to say, as I offered up my sorrow to Jesus, "What is the good of that? What can you possibly make out of this, Lord?" And then I was reminded of this story. If your life is broken when given to Jesus, it may be because pieces will feed a multitude, while 1 loaf would be enough for only a little boy. You don't know what Jesus has in mind. Don't drown the words of Jesus with your own practical notions. Don't dictate to God how he's supposed to answer your prayer. Be open. Be obedient. Be teachable. Be childlike. Be meek. Be humble enough to say, Lord, this is the way it looks to me. I don't see another answer. But if you have one, I'm listening. In verse 45 in chapter 6, to the end of the chapter, we read about Jesus sending the disciples off in the boat, and he goes to pray. And here's another one of these stories where he sees the disciples straining, rowing in the middle of the lake with the wind against them. And I want to point out here that Jesus was the one who had sent them across the lake. Did he know that the storm was coming? Perhaps he did. Perhaps he didn't. We don't really know exactly what the limitations of his knowledge were. When he emptied himself and came down from heaven and became a man and put himself in the limitations of time and space. But we do know that Jesus was the one who had sent them, and they got into a storm. When Jesus sends us on his errands, we may encounter storms, big ones, frightening ones, terrifying storms, which may seem to be fatal. But he comes to us in the storm, and his presence in the boat brings calm. Hold us in quiet through the age-long minute, while thou art silent and the wind is shrill. Can the boat sink when thou, dear Lord, art in it? Can the heart faint that waiteth on thy will?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.